if you listen attentively to that first reading from Paul, it's a great overview of our history as Christians, going back to our ancestors, the Jews, the Israelites. And he tells us how they were following the voice of God and the mandates of God well before they gathered at covenant with Moses. He speaks to their history, and when they finally gathered together after they left Egypt and so on, they organized into little groups. We call them led by the judges. It's a period of transition. Then he says, out of all the people, it was time for them to have a king. So God and Paul is telling us this is how. So this is Paul talking about his own religious history and, of course, ours. And God decides that they need a king. He gets a man called Saul. Then Saul doesn't live out his ministry as well as he should, and it follows up with the King David. And, of course, in the scriptures, in reference to David, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man of my own heart. He will carry out my every wish. So it has the theological history, the Israelites leaving Egypt, organizing themselves, getting a king, the king not good, Saul, and then David is appointed as the great king leading the people of Israel, according to God's promise. He herald my coming, Jesus says. So in the scriptures, when we refer to David, he came, and his actions and his words, because we attribute the Psalms to David, spoke about the coming of the Messiah. Okay, history goes on, and someone appears on the scene who is a contemporary of the Messiah, John the Baptist. And he comes proclaiming a baptism of repentance. And about Jesus, John said, I am not the one who is to come. One is coming after me, and I am not worthy to unfasten his sandals. Interesting, in that little presentation, Peter gives biblical history and our history as Christians. And it's so interesting because he's talking about the invisible God leading the people of Israel, leading the apostles, leading the kings, leading David and so on. And they never see him. They keep his faith and faith in him through the covenant, which is obeying the laws and doing the prescriptions of the scriptures. And that's how you keep a rapport with God. And you live out his message each day. Again, the invisible God, his word is powerful. Then, and we go back to John, the gospel is from John today, the beginning of the gospel of John, we're not saying that right now, but the beginning of the gospel of John connects Peter's theology to John and to us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So now the word that led the people of Israel to freedom eventually and established them as a kingdom wasn't enough. John the Baptist comes on the scene and predicts that somebody else is coming, and he is the Word of God. And then we have Jesus as the Word. So it's a beautiful little rundown of our biblical history, and it's almost salvation history, basically. And here we have Jesus, and what's this great fulfillment do? This the promised of God. What does he do? Tonight, well, because this takes place at night, today's reading focuses on what that word does. He gets on his hands and knees and washes the feet of his disciples. That whole salvation history leads up to Jesus. Jesus comes, and he's ordinary. He's one of us. Of course, he's God and Son of God, but he's one of us. To the point where he washes the feet of his disciples and says, you know, you got to do the same thing. So living the Word is like living the Word of the invisible God, the Father, who sent him. And Jesus says that. Hey, listen, you listen to me, you're listening to the Father. Anybody who listens to me and carries out my words, carries out the words of my Father. And then he mentions that the Father and I are one. So you have all of salvation history. And of course, here, this is the night of Good Friday that this reading takes place. The greatest event was the resurrection. That this God-man came to earth, fulfilled all the anticipations of the Old Testament, came to earth, and we crucified him. But nevertheless, he was the Word of God, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. And that's why we're here. So we could see our names in this story, each one of us, our families in this story, because we are carrying out today the life and mystery of the invisible God who we make visible in our words, in our actions, in our sacraments. This is the same God that was worshipped by the ancestors, the Israelites. The same God who coexisted from all eternity with the Word, his Son. Same God who sent his Son, Bethlehem, the whole story, to do his work. And his Son makes sure, listen, don't judge what I'm doing based on my words. Judge what I'm doing based on him who sent me. And he ties that in one more phrase, and this comes from Exodus, from the burning bush. Whatever I tell you, I'm telling you before it happens, so that when it happens, you'll know that I am. And that's extremely important. And if I said it in the Hebrew, ego eimi. Eimi, I am. I am. Who are they talking about? The Creator. The invisible God is now visible in Jesus Christ. And he tells us that very clearly. If there's any doubt about it, we know who we're worshiping and we're praying to God in the form of his dear Son, Jesus, our sacrament.